All right, let's just do it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess we can... I'll bring it up after.
We can talk? I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing.
I was like, I have something to say. Okay. I mean, and what did you do this weekend? And we'll find out.
All right, that sounds good. You can go.
The fuck did I do Monday night? Friday night?
To La Malo.
You said that you had dinner or something.
La Malo.
Didn't have much else to do.
Why you lied?
Excuse me. Sorry about that.
I had dinner.
You said you had dinner.
I had dinner. I didn't know you were inviting four fucking people to the Met game.
I invited two Mets fans. You don't like baseball. If you'd like to public, which is if it's a football game, you're there. If it's a basketball game, you're there. If you publicly keep saying that you don't like baseball, why would I invite you to a cool baseball
experience? To see it.
Doesn't make much sense.
Never been to a baseball
park. Yeah, there you go. Is my? Oh yeah, I can hear.
Yeah, let's just do it. Yeah, we're good. Okay. Keep the time in mind.
Mm-hmm. Keep the time. Yeah, I'm gonna try and end at like 8:02.
Eight, and minutes. We'll go. Yeah.
Okay.
High 40s.
Friends, welcome back to the Schwitz. I'm Ben at Boy with No Job, and I'm here with Jack at Jack Not John and Victor at VWeb. Today we're talking about college football's week 3, the MLB playoff race, and the FIBA Basketball World Cup. But boys, how the fuck are you?
Great weekend. That weather it just keeps going down and down, and yet I keep wearing a t-shirt just soaking it all in. I can't get enough of this 60-degree weather. Perhaps the best time in New York. September's the best month. Summer, you gotta go. I'm over you. I didn't get a chance to see It Chapter 2. I don't know why I want to see it.
I'm not fucking seeing
it. I don't know
shit.
Why I want to see it. It's freaky as hell. I saw the first one over the summer.
Bill Hader's in number two. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of people
I know,
in it.
I like that.
Jessica Chastain's in it.
Really?
Like, I don't even... Unless I was watching the wrong trailer, but I think I'm right.
Anything with clowns, that's it. Like, horror movies with clowns. Clowns are scary enough when it's not a horror. Like, they're just, like, weird. You always think, oh, you're coming to my kid's birthday party because you're... Going to be very inappropriate with the children. Clowns are very strange.
Why? When did clowns become so scary? Like, they haunt me.
Yeah, they're terrifying. Well, I think it's it. It's its fault.
They're supposed to be nice and friendly.
Since, like, the 70s,
hey,
the original It. I didn't see It either. Watched a movie at home last night. I was exhausted. I played an early round of golf.
Same. Where'd you
play? I played on my course.
Rich boy.
Got out there early. I haven't woken up that early on a week. I woke up at like 6 and
so did I.
Fired out.
Was
that you on the dude? You were driving like a fucking maniac.
What'd you shoot?
By the way, worst round of the summer.
No,
easily.
Mine was the worst round of the summer.
Easily the worst round of the summer.
I shot 104.
Yeah, I didn't shoot that high.
I shot 104.
But I like that the caddy has known me for a while, so no matter what I did, he's like, "Don't worry, Jack. You got it in you, Jack. I've seen you put that wedge about 3 feet from the cup." I'm like, James, I really appreciate it. And you're getting your tip regardless. But I mean, if I'm shanking it onto the seventh hole, let me fucking throw the club. But no, I was actually striking the ball pretty well. The greens were just aerated. So and we didn't do the two-putt max. So I probably should have shot a little lower. But I got out there. I got to keep that driver in play a little better. But I'm working on the grip. Need a lesson with your boy, Kyle.
Shout out to Kyle Senator, Golf Manhattan. Guy is an absolute
legend. Kyle, if you want to throw me a couple free lessons, maybe a discounted lesson. I mean, I know you got something worked out with Boy with No Job, but the rest of us D-level Instagram celebrities, we're still waiting on that
D-level.
Cash flow.
Totally.
You'd be lucky to get D.
You're not even in triple Z.
Yeah, you're probably
you
in like
stay
the,
on private and you only like post Curb Your Enthusiasm
the M to P sort of ring. I always wonder how that worked.
I'm not
like grade A celebrity.
We'll do it by alphabet. I'm the L-list. But yeah, so that was my weekend. Really adult-like weekend. Like, went for a nice dinner Friday night. Like, I felt like a real adult.
Sav, it's time to tell everybody how much food we ate at
City
Field.
I heard you ate like for a family of four, like for a nourished, wealthy family of four.
It was very scary. We went to the Mets game. Guests of Pete Alonso. What a nice guy. Went to batting practice. Hung out with Pete.
You and Vic, by the way. I wasn't there.
No, it was just us.
They actually roped off the whole stadium for it. They told everybody, you got to get out. There are these two guys coming in from the Schwitz.
It was just
I don't know
us.
If you've heard of them.
It was just us. We had a great time. Pete is probably the nicest guy. We're so juiced up. Great Mets game. Syndergaard, Kershaw. Of course, Mets get blown out. So the second that the Mets start to get blown out, we're like, all right, it's time to do what you do at a baseball game. It's time to start eating. I had a foot-long mozzarella veggie sandwich. I had a, What else did I have? I had two rolls of sushi. Like grilled vegetables and mozzarella cheese on a hero. It was delicious.
Wow, I've never seen you order.
Yeah, it was a place called Mama's of Corona. It seemed very authentic.
It was good. I had two rolls of sushi, which you shouldn't do at Citi Field.
I never understand why people like, and people do. You're not the only one. People getting sushi at like sports venues just
it's like
never
fish at Newark Airport.
It was terrible. Then we left and we go back to Harjun's apartment and we order a pie of pizza. I eat two slices of pizza.
Don't forget about the massive snack brigade that came through.
Oh yeah, there were a lot of chips. And then Matt's cousin Joe decided to postmate sushi Seki. So I then had
By the way, there's not a doubt
more.
In my mind that this was your call. I don't think this
I don't
kid...
remember. Okay. I don't remember. Okay. I'm okay. sure yeah. that it yeah. may or may not have been my
yeah.
call.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so
it
just
was
to recap, over the course of the night, I had a footlong sandwich, four rolls of sushi, two slices of pizza, and shout out to Live Method, my trainer. I'm going to come this week.
You're going to literally just sweat.
Whip you Jeez. Into shape.
You're going to sweat mozzarella of Corona. Mama's of mother of Corona.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, this weekend, unbelievable college football slate. The top 10 seem to stay relatively the same. Some headlines, just go through a couple. Clemson crushes Cuse, even though Trevor Lawrence threw two picks. Jalen Hurts throws for three touchdowns and rushes for 150 yards and one touchdown. Ian Book throws five touchdowns. Herbert, not Hubert, throws 316 yards and five touchdowns. I just want to open this to the floor. Which performance was most impressive? Does this change your Heisman favorites? Jack, which of these headlines is most impressive to you? And which of these quarterbacks?
I think this performance by Ian Book puts him a little bit on the map. But I think it's Herbert, who before the season was kind of like my dark horse a little bit after Trevor Lawrence and Jalen Hurts. I think that's really impressive. Oregon, as you called it last week, is starting to come alive. I mean, they've got a couple big games coming up in the Pac-12. I think this boosts Herbert the most. I think Trevor Lawrence has already thrown five interceptions through three games. I think, and they haven't been. It hasn't been such great competition. They got Georgia. They had Georgia Tech. They had Syracuse. And this Syracuse team seems to be much worse than we all thought. I think this kind of like pumps the brakes, especially for me because he was my call. I think right now. I foresee Trevor Lawrence to come alive when it matters most, but right now it's got to be Jalen Hurts. I mean, this guy does it in the air, does it on the ground. I could really see Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley having three straight Heisman Trophy winners, and it's fucking cool.
I always love Jalen Hurts because, you know, anytime you watch someone in Alabama, you sort of just start to fall in love with them, play the game the right way, coached by Nick Saban. He transfers, he's out of there. It's to his time. In Alabama, Jalen goes to Oklahoma. We talked about it a bit last week. Looks just so comfortable with this offense. It's brand new. Lincoln Riley, they must have an incredible rapport. And look, I think this game is very important. One, because it was the first non-Power 5 conference. And they played Houston week one, and that was kind of close. Then they play South Dakota last week. They haven't left the city of Norman, Oklahoma. Then they go out west, it's Chip Kelly. Kelly's still coaching UCLA.
Can we just stock down on Chip Kelly?
Yeah, I mean,
the guy can't win at UCLA.
It was a big game for them. They were 0-2, Oklahoma 2-0. Jalen Hurts on the road. I mean, what he did, forget about the three touchy. Yeah, it's the 150 rushing yards. And through three games, he has a combined 1,000 yards. I don't know if he was the first guy
to do
it. But that's sort of insane. Your first year, new offense, new coach, new state, new conference, new everything.
Is that total yards?
Total yards, like rushing and throwing.
By the way, I think he's well
games.
Above that number.
I think that was just like the threshold.
Yeah, no, I mean,
so that to me,
he's gonna,
big game,
he's gonna crush.
Yeah, and they won handedly. They won by 34, only let up 14 points. Obviously, that's nothing to do with Jalen. That's on the defense. Ben, I got a feeling you love your boy Justin Herbert. Here's your chance.
So here's the deal with Herbert. I just want to comment on a couple of things. Herbert is playing fantastic, but this Oregon defense is making it so easy for him. This week and last week, he's had five touchdowns that began inside of the opponent's 40-yard line. So the guy only needs to go 30 yards to get these touchdowns. They're playing teams that they're absolutely outmatching. Montana, like, these are...
As they should.
They should crush them. So his numbers are great, but I think that this is really a one-horse race. I think that Jalen Hurts is separating himself at such a level because of the inconsistencies from Trevor Lawrence. And Ian Book, I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck what you do against Mexico. Mexico or New Mexico?
New Mexico. New Mexico. And I'm playing the whole country.
Mexico's got a team.
This is FIBA.
Where'd you attend school? I went to the University of Mexico. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah, I don't
just Mexico and back. I just ran across. And
I don't care what you do against New Mexico. That doesn't mean anything to me. They didn't cover against the Louisville team. I know covering doesn't mean everything, but you're supposed to win by a certain amount of points. And when you don't cover against teams that are worse than you, it brings down your stock. So I'm totally out on Ian Book, and I think that Jalen Hurts right now is a shoe-in for the Heisman, especially if he keeps this up.
And we didn't even talk about Tua, who's, you know, just sitting there. I mean, you know, Bama, they've really been like—
He had 400 yards and five touchdowns.
I know.
So
he had a great game.
Credit to him.
And I just think after Bama has, like, underratedly struggled a little bit. Like, not really struggled, but they're not blowing teams out.
I think they've struggled. No, they've struggled by Nick Saban standards.
By Nick Saban standards. Like, like in the first quarter of the first game, they were, like, tied 7-7, and then they blew them out. So I think everyone's pumped the brakes on Bama. But I almost think that's best for this Bama team. That last year was so, you know, highly touted. Everyone's like, they're going to take it, and then Clemson beat them. I think the best thing for Bama right now is to be that little dark horse. Be that team, you know, in the dark, in the background a little bit, to the Clemson, to Oklahoma, to Jalen Hurts in Oklahoma, even at Georgia. I mean, it's nice for this team, for Tua, to just kind of be second fiddle, third fiddle. Even.
Because you brought up Alabama, I want to quickly shout out Ryan Helinski, who is the quarterback of South Carolina, because that kid put up numbers and looked really good against Alabama. He had two touchdowns, one pick. They covered the spread. The kid was pretty impressive.
South Carolina stinks, though. They lost.
Yeah, they lost.
No, I know.
I'm just saying.
I know. As we said a couple of years ago, could this team beat Cleveland? I mean, this is a near NFL defense.
Yeah, Alabama's unbelievable. Yeah.
It's the same. It's the same story, different day, different year, different season.
When was the last time you heard a quarterback throw for 330 yards against Alabama?
It's probably been a while.
Lawrence. That's a
Trevor
lot of yards.
Lawrence or Jake Fromm,
about
it.
Yeah, and this is the kid from South Carolina.
Credit to
It's really going to me, like, I'm always just looking down the road, and, you know, the race is always tough. We're 3 weeks in. Now we start to get into these big conference play games.
Love it.
This is when you have a chance to really separate yourself, and I keep staring down this game, October 12th. It's Texas-Oklahoma. If Jalen Hurts comes out of that thing alive, Oklahoma goes all the way. I don't even know how it's even a question. Of course, if Tua keeps doing Tua things, you know, we have another topic to address. But for me, I wouldn't say even horse race, but, you know, this is your time to sort of say who's on the table, who's next. Let me get in there. Go for the kill.
By the way, that same day, we got Alabama in Texas A&M in College Station. So, I mean,
what a great
day of college football that's going to be. Where are we going to be then, Ben?
What day is that?
I believe that's a Saturday.
Saturday. They play on Saturday.
I think we'll be in New York. I think we'll be on
Saturday. What day of the week? What's wrong with both of you?
Oh, the 12th.
The 12th of September?
Of October.
What month are we in?
12th of September was 2 days ago.
We're going backwards. All right. October 12th.
12th of October.
Let's do something. We'll dial something up.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. Yeah. Honestly, it sounds great.
Right. Both of us looking at each other. Like,
yeah, no, that's a great.
You're looking at me like that slice of pizza from the other night. Yeah, shit, dude.
Ready to eat you. You better run to the door right now.
Get off my forearm.
Ready to eat you. In other news, did you guys see this Florida-Kentucky game? Because it was fucking
it was awesome.
Insane. Felipe Franks, rest in peace, broken ankle.
Yikes.
But I got to be honest with you. That guy fucking sucks. So it's nice for Florida, in my opinion, that they now have a man by the name of Kyle Trask.
A man.
Who came in. Yes, he is a man. This is a man.
I think he's a graduate, by the way.
Well, whatever he is, he came in the game. How much were they down? 15?
20. They were down 21-10, I think, at that point.
Okay, so they were down.
And they had just gone for it on fourth down.
And missed it.
On that play. And the ball's at midfield.
Yes. Yeah.
This was anything that could have gone wrong, like, you couldn't have stepped into a worse moment, because it could have been 28-10 by the time he actually stepped in there.
And that injury awoke the Florida defense. All of a sudden, they got a three and out, goes to Trask. And I think that, at least what I saw in this game, let me know if you guys feel differently. I was thinking that it's not possible that they're calling a better game for Trask. It was obviously the same game plan for Franks and Trask. But Franks was just doing what he was supposed to do. You're going in there. You're making these quick throws.
Trask.
Felipe Franks
holds
and runs around in circles until he gets tackled or until he wants to extend and run for 15 yards. But the Florida game plan was clearly a good one that Trask came in, executed on. and then they won.
He's also a really big boy. I mean, that guy could stand in the. He's a big
dude.
He's
a fullback.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Especially him without the helmet. I mean, he's got this goatee, this stash. I mean, that's a football guy. But yeah, he stood in the pocket. He looked like the starter. I mean, he looked real composed. He got the ball out of his hands quick. I mean, the knock on Felipe Franks has always been get some pressure on him and he'll be flustered. He'll either try and drag out the play and go for a run. I mean, the guy's, as we were talking about, the guy's 6'6". It's not like he's this speedster, Jalen Hurts, you know, who's going to weave through defender. He's a big dude. So, but yeah, I thought he broke his back on that play. So if I'm Felipe Franks, even though my career's done, you still got your spine. I mean, the ankle, hopefully.
That's,
you know,
true. He will live.
He's the big winner out of this, I believe.
He'll live, he'll walk.
But his career, yeah, I think not only at Florida, I think the times of you hearing the name Felipe Franks have come to an end.
Maybe as a mathematician down the line or something good. I mean,
or that guy that just like, he's on that list of like guys who enter the draft who probably will not get drafted. That guy's never going to be an NFL quarterback.
You'll have a camera set up at his house.
Say what you said outside because
he's
very
athletic.
Important.
He's super athletic. He's 6'6".
6'6".
Yeah, I mean, he's a big dude. I could see him either like getting out there being a wide receiver. Or maybe baseball. I mean,
baseball's interesting. I wonder if he can play.
I mean, you can't just jump in and be a tight end. Like usually, it's quarterback to
maybe
wide receiver.
Fullback,
like,
if he completely bulks up.
I mean, that's the biggest
just
fullback.
Adds
I've ever,
on
I've
like
ever seen.
A bunch of poundage.
Usually,
animal.
You send like a Mike Tolbert who's like 5'6". I don't imagine they're about to send out like a
6'6" fullback. That's like Latavius Murray, who by the way,
studs.
Yeah, no, we're not going to talk about the Saints right now. But he is a stud. And it's the perfect segue into bad beats here because I don't know if you guys saw what happened at the end of this Florida game. It depends on when you got the line. The line on Florida opened at 7.5, though, so that's what we're going to go after here.
I think it closed at maybe 8.
It closed
maybe
at 8.
Even if it was
8.5, whatever. It depends
whatever
on when
you had.
But if you teased Florida down, you won. If you took the Florida money line, you won. But if you had Kentucky plus 7.5...
R.I.P.
You were in the money for 59 minutes and 27 seconds. And this is the thing, because college football, your ranking depends on how much you beat someone by, who you beat, how many points you let up, how many points you score. So they literally keep going until there's 3 zeros on the clock.
And body of work.
You see it all the time. You see it all the time. And also, these are guys, I just brought up the draft a couple of minutes ago. The draft stock, there's always something that people are watching. There's always a scout at the game. There's somebody thinking, you know, guys who can go fourth. So I hope someone's thinking. That's the most important thing. Not like a bunch of mindless thoughts. And Kentucky, like, they were dominating them. And once the Felipe Franks injury happens, like, close the door. This may be 42-10 Kentucky. Crazy upset. Throw them in the SEC race. A resilient Florida team that literally didn't stop playing until the final whistle. Not just any run. Just a freak defensive
it's
play.
So disgusting.
A 76-yard run by one of their running backs. Not even the main guy.
Was he a running back?
Not even, yeah.
Josh Hammond. This was,
This was
a wide receiver. He also scored a touchdown against the Canes.
This was a reverse jet sweep. It's 3rd and 6. There's 30 seconds left. If you bet Kentucky with the points,
why weren't they kneeling? Because I didn't catch the end.
Because they had a timeout.
They had a timeout.
They could not kneel. This was it. There was one chance. You stop them anywhere on the field and they're going to kneel. Instead, reverse sweep through the tackles.
That guy's
76
fast.
Yards.
That's fast.
In the NFL, to your point, Vic, bringing up that spreads matter for seeding, for ranking. In the NFL, that guy probably doesn't score. He gets the first down, and if he's a smart player, he goes down, they kneel, they win. Because by giving them back the ball up 8,
and you
Kentucky
don't know,
actually drove the field and had a chance at a Hail Mary.
And you also know who's chasing you. You could fumble. Anything could happen. And the most breaking bad.
You sound like Felipe.
Backbreaking part of this is
I thought he broke his spine.
Yeah, so did I.
I thought he was about to like snap
sad,
in half like
but
a twig.
Like, I
is right
sad.
Before that possession,
it's not
Kentucky.
That sad.
Kentucky had a chance to go up. I think. To go up, it was 22-21. Kentucky missed a field goal.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you go from
they
being
did.
Totally safe to just not safe at all. No spread is safe in college. Learn that. Maybe just stop betting it all together.
You can't get sad for Kentucky, though, because come basketball time, they're the biggest fucking assholes in the world.
Oh, the worst.
Yep. I mean, like, nonstop, okay? So, like, I hate Florida, but I mean, you got basketball, Kentucky, so like enough crying.
I love Trask. I was just looking at that guy. I'm like, wow.
By the way, I hate you.
I'm sorry.
I hate you.
But yeah. No, but hey, Miami, you guys covered against
40 and a half
against Bethune-Cookman.
Bethune-Cookman.
63-0. Manny Diaz gets his first W. Jaron Williams. I mean, the guy's looking like a
that's gotta
real
be a,
pro.
That's got to be a feel-good tune-up
game. It is. It is a feel-good tune-up
game. That's good.
You had the freshman tight end go out there, give us two touchdowns, Larry Hodges. I mean,
And the walk-on.
The team looks sharp. I mean, if we could play that team.
You got to give a shout-out to the walk-on.
Shout out to the
Jimmy Murphy.
Number 29. This guy looks like a little bowling ball. I love him. And
he's as tall as I am. He's 5'7".
I know. You guys have the same build.
5'7".
And he threw on, like, Miami's now got the offensive hurricane rings that when you score, you get these grill. Like,
oh, that's cool.
They're sick. It's no longer
a turnover chain. You have touchdown rings.
We're going to post a video of his celebration. It was all time.
Are we?
Yeah, we are. I don't know how to do it. So
100%.
So I'm going to ask Ben kindly to do it. I don't know how to post anything. But, I mean, so much heart. That kid's awesome. Jimmy Murphy, number 29. Go Canes, baby.
Yeah, I'm happy that you interjected that in there. I'm happy that Bethune-Cookman was the game that
really got me going.
Yeah, in case you guys were wondering, he is a Miami Hurricanes fan. Yep. But another bad beat. Clemson minus 27.5.
I think it was actually 28.5. It may have closed.
Whatever. Out. Jesus Christ.
They're up. The score's 34-6 once again.
Covering.
1 minute left. Syracuse, you're in the money. You're in the money all game. Syracuse actually like threatened for a while, got down there.
Threatened.
And threatened when you're down 34 to 6. And there's no reason to be watching this game. There's no reason, unless you have money on it. And
which is everyone watching.
They're in their own territory. I mean, they could have done 7 kneel downs in a row. It wouldn't have even mattered. And a player by the name of Chez Malusi.
You got to watch out for Malusi.
Chez, Chez Malusi, 57 yards to the house. 48 ticks on the clock, and he breaks like 3 tackles, and you're just thinking, oh no, he can't go all the way, and he does. It's just, you know, and Clemson, a team that's number one, they know better than anybody. You got to beat somebody, you got to beat them bad, you got to beat them literally into the dirt, all the way through the ground, you end up in China. That type of beat there.
By the way, it seems like the Syracuse team can't stop a nosebleed. I mean, Dino Babers, what is happening up there?
Dude, they were on the rise, and you had a 10-win. They had a 10-win season
last year.
They were thinking about bringing game day, college game day,
until they got spanked by Maryland, who lost this. That was like my hot team last week. I mean, they lost to Wake Forest Friday night.
Into next week, quick shout out to the Arizona State Sun Devils because we did not talk about it at all, but that was a huge fucking upset.
Yeah,
they were 14.5 point underdog.
Did you see what happened?
Yes, and Herm Edwards, that defense is legit.
Yeah.
They are legit.
Michigan State, though, should have actually had one more chance because the refs, so they hit the first field goal, Michigan State is in overtime.
12
then
men.
There were 12 men on the field. They have to redo it. The guy misses wide left. But the refs miss somebody leapfrogging over the center, which is supposed to be a 15-yard personal foul, which would have made it 42. It would have been a 27-yard field goal. Who even knows what could have happened? I still don't understand. You know, you are paid. There's always that phrase. You got one job to do. It is your job. There's one guy watching the center. There's one ref. And by the way, there are 6 refs. They're allowed to huddle up. They're allowed to say, what did you see? What did you see?
What did you see?
And they totally blew it. Credit to ASU, Sun Devils. We love Herman Edwards. We're Jets people here. But I just don't understand how refs keep missing these crucial calls, especially when it's the last play of the game. That grinds my gears.
No, it doesn't make any sense. You never want to say, like, oh, things are fixed, things are this, things
or
are that.
Or the refs cost the game. But in
reality, this game was sharp.
Yep.
The Arizona State Sun Devils were the play. Better in Vegas, professional bettors were on the Sun Devils.
Yep.
And so I'm not saying that anybody necessarily took them to win because they were, again, a 14.5 point underdog, but that was inexplicable.
This team is legit. I mean, watch out in the Pac-12. This team's really good.
The Pac-12 went from 0 defense to 2 serious defenses.
Yeah.
Oregon and Arizona State are defenses that I'd love to see one of them play like a, I don't know.
No.
Not like a Texas, but like I'd love to see something like that.
That's why you get those first early games to sort of match up like that, and that's why they can be a lot of fun. And like when they played Auburn, we sort of saw that. It was only – the Auburn game was only 28-21.
Yeah, Oregon easily could have beat Auburn. Yeah, they beat Auburn that week.
And I mean, next week ASU's got a decent Colorado team coming in, so.
Yeah, which is – moving into next week, let's talk about that game first. Colorado is at Arizona State. Arizona State is a 7.5-point favorite. Vic, who you like in that game?
I just don't like that hook, and Colorado's been that team that everybody's sort of like, ooh, Colorado on the rise. They had that great game against Nebraska. They won this past weekend, correct?
Yeah,
I believe so. So you'll have 3-0 against 3-0. That visit to that.
Sorry, nope, they lost the Air Force.
They ended up losing the Air Force. Okay, so there's a lot on the table for Colorado. I think just going from that high altitude in Colorado down to the blistering Tempe temperatures. You'll be in the hundreds
nice,
there.
Nick. Nice alliteration.
Tempe temperatures.
I think when you're in the shade at some of these games, in the shade, it's like 104 degrees. I don't even want to know what it's like with pads on, jersey on, jock strap, cup, pads, cleats, tie socks, everything. And then on top of that, throw a helmet on. How are these guys? I don't think they can survive it. I think Arizona State's just going to roll right through them.
Speaking of jockstrap, did you see what I posted on Instagram stories last night during the Florida game?
How late?
Maybe 11 o'clock. It should still be up. The ref took the flag.
Put it in his
and put
schmeck.
It right in his pants, in the front.
Safekeeping.
Unbelievable.
Nobody's
put it in your pocket.
That yep. Nobody's. Nobody's
how bad
touching
does
that
flag smell?
Maybe that was like his back. I think every ref gets two flags. Maybe that's like where he keeps his back. Maybe some guys hide it in the sock.
He literally
put it right
in his Johnson.
Maybe it's a fanny pack.
It was right in there. It was vile. It was really, really vile. But so, Vic,
I'm on Arizona. I got Arizona State -7.5.
I got Arizona. I really like this Sun Devil team. Love Herm Edwards. The defense is really good. This is the first time the Buffaloes are playing away from Colorado. This is their first away game. They beat Nebraska 2 weeks ago by 3. Decent Nebraska team, Scott Frost. I like this ASU team. They're starting to click. I think they take care of business.
And they just moved in. They just moved in the top 25.
Yeah, they did. They're 24. This is a good game though. It's a good Pac-12 game. Let's see what happens. Ben, I know who you got.
Yeah, I think Arizona State wins handedly. I think that this is at least a 10-point game.
Well, you'd certainly hope so.
Yeah, no, totally. But losing to Air Force and Nebraska is not the same team. Last year, they were
awful.
Yeah, and they just haven't been that team in a long time. Like, they have the name recognition, so you're always going to be like, oh, Colorado beat Nebraska. I don't think that's as big of a win.
Also, Scott Frost carries that cachet.
At home, what was the spread on that game?
That was almost a pick'em.
Okay,
that was almost a pick'em.
No, it was Nebraska -4. But I'm saying that, so Colorado was supposed to have a chance in that game.
Right.
And great, they won. So they lost a game that they shouldn't have lost last week. They go into Arizona. I don't think that they score a lot, and Arizona State comes out with a W. Moving on, Notre Dame at Georgia, 10.5-point favorite. Jack, who you got?
I like that we're going backwards. We're starting with the late games and moving our way up. I like that. 10.5, that's a lot. I think Notre Dame covers. I hate Notre Dame, but I do think they cover. I like Ian Book. The Notre Dame, they've only played twice. They're well-rested. I think they go out there, and I think they keep it tight, but I think Georgia takes care of business. I like Notre Dame with the points.
Yeah, I just think it's a bit too high, and sometimes with these college games, I mean, you've got the Georgia's #3 team in the country, Notre Dame #7. We did say that they didn't start right. I think it was that they didn't play the first weekend, or they didn't play the second weekend. I don't know when they're.
I think everybody gets a break after two, and they're the independent. Right. I mean, Notre Dame, they get to do whatever.
They play by their own rules.
I think Air Force is also an independent.
So is New Mexico.
Yeah, I never understand. There's a fourth team. Is it Navy? Is it Army?
I think it's Army.
So, I mean, a lot of the times so you have the #3 team against the #7 team. You'd like to see them getting just a bit more respect. I know Notre Dame has just had their beginning soft schedule. They did go into Louisville and take care of business there first weekend. Georgia tends to roll at home, and I just don't like it. It's just a bit too high for me. Big fan of Jake Fromm and the boys down there, Kirby Smart. Ben, what do you got?
So who are you taking?
I said the point's too high for me. Notre Dame.
Okay, because you want a little.
No, Notre Dame.
Here,
Irish.
And there and there. And
Notre
here,
Dame,
and
the
here.
Irish, Green Jackets, Leprechauns galore.
Cool. Well, I think this might sway your decision. There's a wide receiver on Notre Dame. Their best wide, Chase Claypool. Let that sit for a moment.
That's a nice name. There's nothing swaying me. I hate Notre Dame. I think that they play by their own rules. I don't think that they should be eligible for the college football playoff, and I have not been impressed by either of their wins. Georgia is. These are NFL players. You go to Georgia and you go to the NFL. Fromm is going to get drafted. Ian Book is not going to be an NFL quarterback, I don't think, or at least a good one. I like Georgia to win by 2 touchdowns at home. Auburn at Texas A&M. Texas A&M is a 3.5-point favorite. This is a very interesting game, in my opinion. Victor.
I mean, I love it, and this is when you jump into these SEC matchups that you just want to park it in front of the couch, get the wings out, get the pizza.
Give me the wings.
You're going to see just unbelievable defense, both sides of the ball. You got Jimbo Fisher opposite Gus Malzahn. These are the games you live for in the SEC, and this is why Texas A&M moved into this conference, to show that they can compete. You know, earlier in the year, I took Auburn against Oregon. I think I'm just going to have to do it again. I like that they're getting that 3.5 points on the road. Road dog, give me Auburn plus 3.5. I mean, I guess I'll go as far to say is they're going to win this game. Until I see them drop one, I think you got to keep staying with the Tigers, folks.
Did you say Florida State?
I knew what he meant.
No.
You did.
Oh, who? You meant Jimbo, because
you,
Jimbo?
You said Florida State.
Yeah.
When?
1 second ago.
No.
But I like
you
that.
Meant A&M.
Slipped my mind.
You meant it. Wow, wait, big Jimbo guy over here. You know, home field advantage. In college, that's like, what is that, 3 points?
Yep.
So it's practically pick 'em. I'm a little worried. Bo Nix, freshman. I mean, he's clearly got some cojones on him. I think A&M takes care of business. I think they're peaking. I think Jimbo's got these guys ready. The defense is strong. I like A&M minus 3.5. Give me minus 3.5. I think A&M takes care of business. I think it's a little too early for Bo Nix, who in his first college game was an absolute hero, absolute legend on that last play. But I think A&M's got it. You got Mond, I think he's a junior.
Yeah, Mond is awesome.
He's really good. He throws a couple picks, but he's good. He's got some wheels on him. Give me A&M.
I like Auburn plus 3.5. 3.5 is always a great number because if you lose on a field goal, you still win. I think that Auburn has a shot to win this game. I love the heart that I saw out of what I think is a great Oregon team. Texas A&M put up a good fight against Clemson, besides that, great. I'm happy that you blew out Texas State and Lamar.
Gotta blow out Lamar. They're a little tricky.
Yeah.
62-3.
Auburn just has shown me enough to know that they can stay with great teams, and so if it's a close game, I prefer the points than hoping that they win by a touchdown.
It's also great. I mean, I hope Auburn wins. It's a good story. Gus Malzahn still fighting for his job. Bo Nix, great story. I hope Auburn wins. I just think it's a tough place to play. Really tough place to
really
play.
College Station, one of impossible. The toughest.
Yeah. I like that. That's my favorite game of the week.
Me too.
Possibly.
Me
like too. Yeah, you got the Big Ten matchup that you're about to bring up, but that one. These are two. This is a really good week, man.
Yeah, this upcoming game, Michigan at Wisconsin. Wisconsin is -3. This game, I think, ends up being the biggest heartbreaker. I'll start with this one. Heartbreaker because Wisconsin, at least to me, came into this season with very little expectations. I don't think that we, like, new quarterback, yeah. Like, just, we did not know what Wisconsin was going to be. And Wisconsin is rolling. And on the opposite side, Michigan is the worst 11 I've seen in a long time. Florida is by far the worst 9, but Michigan is the worst 11, almost losing a game that you really should have lost to Army at home. I think that Wisconsin comes in and definitely wins this game. It's not going to be a blowout, but this Wisconsin defense is so good. I think it's a low-scoring game. I definitely like the home team to win by at least 3 points, Jack.
Yeah, I like Wisco also. I think, you know, power of the Jack Cohn, quarterback. I like him better than Hornibrook, who is super inconsistent, that lefty from
he's
last.
He's a backup
yeah,
on,
he's
where is he?
On Florida State.
Yeah, how weird is that?
Like, Jack Cohn, power of the Jacks.
How weird
I like
is that,
him.
Though? Backup of Florida State?
He's a graduate. It's so I I guess he likes the warm weather. I don't know. But I mean, this Michigan team has yet to like sell me. And what's his name? Jonathan Taylor. He's an absolute stud, best player on the field. I just like Wisco. They've got the weapons this year on the offensive side of the ball. That defense is always strong, and I think it comes down to John Taylor and an above average quarterback in Jack Cohn. I really like this Wisco team.
Yeah, and you say Michigan hasn't sold you. You know who hasn't sold me yet? John Harbaugh. And he's been there, I guess this is fourth season.
I like that.
Fifth season in.
Five.
And look, I loved him when he came from Stanford to the NFL, coaching the Niners team. He brought this like college attitude, led them to the Super Bowl, which was probably the best part that he did when he came to the NFL. But these big games, and you saw it last year when they went to Ohio State, had everything on the
line.
They
got their number.
And they came out and laid an egg.
Their quarterback sucked dick. It's not his fault.
Well, no. Well, it's both. You have the coaching side, which is a big part of the game. And then you have the players to be on. Shea Patterson hasn't gotten the job done. They keep saying he's the guy. You talked about that Army game. My goodness. Everything like that could have gone wrong against like an out-of-conference team should have been a layup. And you know what? Wisconsin's handled their business. They've had two games. They've outscored their opponents 110-0. They haven't let up a single point yet. I know it was USF. It was a credit to USF. They have a strong program.
Nice, Charlie.
Charlie Strong. And then they play Central Michigan, but they win that game the way they're supposed to. 6-0 Michigan. You have Middle Tennessee State, 40-21, and then you've double overtime against Army, 24-21.
21 points to Middle Tennessee is too many points.
Right.
21 points too many.
And both those games were at home. Like Wisconsin went on the road. Now they've got this game at home. I see you take Wisconsin, you take it confidently with 3. I haven't seen it yet, and I'm sort of disappointed from John Harbaugh.
Quickly to your point about John Harbaugh, I just said, and I want to retract something. I said that this was all on the quarterback, that they suck. But that's all on Harbaugh because he was brought there to recruit, and clearly he can't recruit a good quarterback.
And remember, he had Andrew Luck. Like
he was the quarterback whisperer at Stanford.
He can't recruit a quarterback because these guys are terrible.
He carries too much of a spotlight, I think, even
yes,
out of Michigan.
Absolutely.
If you draw this much attention as the coach, even out of Michigan, the big house, you know, blue, it's not great. I mean, he's so focused on these trips to Italy, the fucking slacks. I mean, dude, get the team in order, beat Ohio State, beat a Wisco. Them and Wisco beat each other up, but you got to beat Ohio State until, you know, you're a legit contender. This Michigan team could easily be 1-1, which would have taken them out of the top 25. To me, this is a top 10 Wisco team against an unranked Michigan team.
I
like Wisco. I'd almost double it.
Yeah,
I'm not even kidding. Like, no, I think you would take a -6.
I would, 100%. Who do we think this week moves into the top 10? I'm just going to quickly run through the top 10. Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Auburn, Florida, Utah. Who do we think moves up after their game this week into the top 10? I am going again with Oregon. I think that Oregon needs to be in the top 10 at this point. They are not allowing any points on defense. They should have beaten Auburn. This is, a Pac-12 team should have beaten Auburn. So if you should have beaten Auburn, you deserve to be in the top 10, especially if you have Florida in there, you have Utah in there. I don't know. I think Oregon needs to be in there. Jack, you.
I kind of alluded to this earlier. I think Wisco, after they rough up Michigan, is going to be top 10. Also, don't sleep on UCF.
I was just about to say
the Golden Knights.
Because I was going to say Wisconsin. Yeah. Say you got to look out.
By
for
the way,
UCF.
My bad. I just jumped on both of them.
No. I'm with you on both.
Yeah,
of them.
I'll just start with UCF and you take it home. But I mean, they're undefeated and they're going into a tough place in Pittsburgh. I mean,
yeah. And the thing about once Wisconsin has this game, they have 3 more games at home before they welcome in Michigan State, who's going to be pissed off as hell after Arizona State. Whatever happens from these next 3 weeks, you beat Michigan, who's 11, establish yourself. And depending on how many points they beat them by, I think Wisconsin, you will definitely see, and we say this every single year with UCF, Why aren't they getting the respect? Why aren't they getting the respect?
Why aren't they, by the way?
Because they're non-Power 5 conference.
Great, Notre Dame is a non-conference.
I agree.
They have no conference. Why are we respecting Notre Dame? It doesn't make any sense.
Because I'll tell you why. Usually it comes down to the strength of schedule, which isn't UCF's fault. They have to play who's in their conference, and they beat
Cincinnati,
who's in their conference.
Notre Dame literally picks
their whole schedule.
This is an unbelievable program. Like, we're seeing now because they're not losing now. It doesn't matter who's on their team. They don't lose. They're well coached.
They also have the transfer from Notre Dame.
Oh, wait. Don't they have a new coach?
Yeah, because Frost left. Also, they have a new quarterback. What's his name?
What happens to the kid that got very injured? Yeah, McKenzie was his name, maybe?
He was awesome.
He was amazing. Such Where'd heart. He go? Is he gone?
I think he's out. I think he was a senior. I think that was his last game. That's sad. But
they have Dylan Gabriel, a freshman, 6 feet. Great, that's the quarterback from Hawaii.
Great, so that means the program is good. They're well taught. They know what they're doing.
It's a good place.
And good programs should get some put some respect.
Wow,
on my name.
I like that. I was way off.
Freshman from Hawaii. Who
the
knew?
Hell has that
you go from Hawaii
from
to Orlando.
Yeah. Well, yes. Respect them. They deserve more respect.
Definitely.
I want to transition a bit because we are entering the MLB playoff race. We're officially in September. September, folks. Playoffs are just around the corner. The race for home field advantage is on. Yankees and Astros, both 98-53. Dodgers are 96-54. When was the last time we had three teams get 100 wins? The MLB is absolutely stacked.
And the Twins aren't that far behind either. They've already got 91
wins. Yeah, it's really so top-heavy. It's amazing. Baseball is at an all-time high right now. Who do we think ends up with the best record in baseball? I'll take this one first. I think that the Astros end up with the best record in baseball. I'm on record as a huge Yankee fan. I think that the Yankees need to sort out some of their pitching problems. They're letting up too many runs. Eventually, they have the best offense I think I've ever seen. 1 through 9.
Without a doubt.
Can hit multiple home runs in a game. It's very scary. Anytime you turn on the TV, the Yankees could easily have more than 10 runs. But their pitching lets up 5, 6, 7 runs. And there are going to be some games, if the Yankees score 5 runs, they could lose a game. And that is not the problem for the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros are loaded. Their starting rotation from Greinke to Verlander to Cole, these guys are Cy Young's up and down. So I think that pitching gets them through to the end of the regular season that they end up with home field advantage. Jack, I know you're just itching to talk about baseball.
I'm itching. I agree. The Greinke trade, I think, put them over the edge. They're the second best offense in baseball behind the Yankees. But it's the pitching that, you know, the Yankees just don't have. They smacked around the Royals this weekend. The Astros did.
What they did to the A's? Last week, they put up 40 runs. Did you see this, Victor?
Oh, yeah.
They put up 40 runs on the A's in two games.
Home plate.
40 runs. Jack, sorry for interrupting. Continue.
No. I mean, it was because of that 15-0 win.
And 21-1 the night before.
Yeah. No, that was the Mariners. But yeah,
let me get the 20 runs.
It's the bat and the pitching. That's what it is. And right now, I don't see it from the Yankees. I mean, it's a simple formula.
That's baseball. The bat and the throw.
You throw the ball, and another guy hits it. And the Astros are just hitting it a little bit better these days. So, a Yankee fan, but it's the Stros.
So
go off on a limb.
I mean, I'm not going to really go off on a limb, but, you know, if you're the Yankees and you remember 2 seasons ago, you know, you lost to the Astros in 7 games, and what happened? You won all your game. Every team won their game at home, and I think the Yankees are very much aware of this, and they will need that home field advantage if they want to get to the big show, the World Series, the thing that everyone's been talking about all season long. They're going to get Severino back soon. I don't know if he's actually going to get a start in before the postseason.
I feel like we say that every season.
The Yankees have some slack opponents ahead of them. They have the Angels. They have the Rangers. And I know the Astros get the Angels about 8 times before this season ends. But the Yankees technically have the leg up. I believe they have the tiebreaker. So even if they both were to win out, which I don't think will happen, you got guys like Gardner stepping up, hitting. Gardner had 6 RBIs the other day. I mean, he had every run the team scored. It's always another guy. It's always someone out, whether it's Urshela, whether it's Torres, whether it's Judge, Stanton. I can go on, rattle them off. We say that the Astros have the leg up on the pitching, but I just think the Yankees will have that in their head. I think Boone is totally after them, saying, guys, we need every single game we can get at home, because that's what it could come down to. Home field advantage, it is huge in baseball. It's definitely huge for the Yankees, considering the size of their ballpark. They know this. That's where they live. Those bats, that's where they live. I think the Dodgers just won't catch them quite. I think the Yankees edge it out. They get the home field advantage, and then you got to take care of business in the postseason.
The Yankees' schedule is harder than you think. This is
look at the Angels, who were.
But this is one of the best bad teams in baseball.
They just lost Trout.
You're still going against Pujols. You're still going against Otani. You're still going against Kron.
So by the same token, the Astros actually get them 7 times. Right. So maybe they should be more worried.
So that's tough too. The Blue Jays are up and coming studs. We're talking about Biggio. We're talking about Vlad Guerrero. These kids can really hit.
Love.
The Rays are obviously amazing.
And they're fighting for a spot.
Anytime you play in Rangers, it's tough.
No, I think it'll be tough. And, you know, we always say, like, you have 162 games of baseball. You don't know what you're going to get at the ballpark. Any given, like to say in football, any given Sunday. Baseball, it's any given damn day. You don't know who's showing up.
No idea.
Especially with teams that are done, like you say, 50-win teams, which is young guys looking to prove themselves, fighting for contracts. I don't think it'll be easy, but I just think they will be so freaking motivated.
Speaking of done, the Boston Red Sox. What a...
Oh, yeah, we're popping champagne here in New York.
They are just... I mentioned that the Yankees pitching is bad, which is like, how mean of me to say, because the Red Sox pitching, you have a guy in Rick Porcello that at one point was a Cy Young candidate. You have a guy in Chris Sale that was regarded as the best pitcher in baseball. These guys...
David Price.
Ten runs, you can't... like it's the complete... It's the more exacerbated problem that I mentioned with the Yankees, except the Yankees can score more runs and have better pitching. The Red Sox, I think, are 10 games back. They're almost officially eliminated, and I'm not feeling sorry for them.
Yeah, I'm not feeling sorry one inch. It's always fun to celebrate in someone else's demise, especially in sports when you have I don't think it's even a question. It is the biggest rivalry in any of the four major sports.
Yeah,
it's not even a question.
Literally,
we're going
those
back
guys
to what, 1903, I think it is. 1910, 11. I'm not sure. Whenever they traded Babe Ruth for $25,000 and like so someone could star in some play. I don't know the whole. No, that's that was the last time the Red Sox won the World Series until they did in 2004.
Yeah. Very good.
Yep. But
very good.
No, there's so much history, and it's always just fun to just like sort of sit back and, you know, be a bit of a sadist. That's the part I'm looking forward to.
Literally,
you know, like
fuck
you
Red
just
Sox.
Won the World Series. You've got what are they've won 4 in the past 12 years,
yes.
13 years. Like enough,
sorry.
Enough.
And you have the Patriots, and you have the Bruins, Boston,
and the Celtics.
And
like, it's enough. They're title town, and you
title
know what?
Town.
Title town. Take a break, and don't forget that you know the Pat season has just started, and they can't lose a damn game.
You know what I love? I hate Boston. I know we all hate Boston. I don't hate the Patriots. I love the Patriots because Tom Brady is not the Boston Red Sox. Tom Brady is just the goat of goats. And the Boston Red Sox, fuck you. I think it's also because the Giants and Jets just are not nearly as competitive as the New York Yankees. So that rivalry is not the same. But, yeah, fuck the Red Sox. Additionally, Indians, A's, and Tampa are separated by 2 games. Who will be left out? Anybody here have an opinion?
I mean, the A's have been, like, scorching, haven't they?
Yeah, they've
been...
Besides
Tampa's,
the run-in with the Astros, they've
right.
been scorching.
Tampa's sort of been hanging around, and then the Indians were going back and forth with the Twins for the division. I'm not sure. Maybe the Indians are so burned out, they may just drop off here. I say Cleveland gets left out in the end. The Rays find a way to do it.
It's so tight. The Indians made such killer acquisitions in Puig. That was a huge bat that they really needed. Tampa definitely has the best pitching. They do this weird thing where they start relievers, and it's very successful for them. All right, I'm leaving out the Indians. I like the A's in Tampa.
I agree. The Puig acquisition was nice, but I think it's starting to tail off a little bit. I do like the Rays.
A's in Tampa. That is not nearly as crazy, though, as the wild card race for the NL. You have about 5 teams from the Mets to the Diamondbacks, Nationals.
Brewers, Phillies, and Cubs.
Yeah, all of them. They're all
two
separated
out of six
by four
it.
Games. Only 2 of them win. Who do we think are the 2? I'll start. I'm going with the Mets. I'm really, really hoping that the Mets find a way in, and the Cubs have the pedigree the Cubs should never miss the playoffs. These are well-coached boys, huge bats. I like the Mets and the Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, the Nats, I think, have the bit of a lead. They have this tiny cushion of 1.5 games. We got to see the Mets firsthand.
And the Mets are now up 2-0 on the Dodgers again. They beat the Dodgers last night. The Mets are cooking.
Look, if the Mets can, I don't know what you sort of need. You know, they've come all the way back. I said the Indians just burned out. I wonder how the Mets feel. They must be running on fumes at this point. Just to be in this position, sort of remarkable. I'm pulling for them, but I think we'll see the old familiar faces with the Nats and the Cubs. I think the Mets will just finally run out of gas.
I don't think you could sleep on the Brewers either. I mean, they're starting to click. They just won 2 in St. Louis. And before that loss, which they got slammed by the Cards, they were on like an 8-game winning streak. I think it's kind of like a newer face into the bunch. Baseball.
I was going to say, the problem with the Brewers is that Christian Yelich is now out for the year with a broken kneecap as of last week.
So sad.
So I'm really hoping that they don't make the playoffs, because if they do, yeah, they were great. Yeah, they're going to – I would prefer a competitive game, and I don't think that the series would be the same without Yelich.
No, I agree. I do think it's going to be the Cubs and the Nats. Just pedigree, familiar faces.
Oh, it needs to be the Mets. I just need the Mets to win. This lineup top to bottom is – I think that they have – one of the best offenses in baseball, and they have the Cy Young in DeGrom. If Syndergaard doesn't pitch to Wilson Ramos,
you got
to
get Ramos.
They're in business.
There.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys heard about the splits problem, but when Syndergaard pitches to Ramos, he loses. When he pitches to anybody else, he wins. So,
makes no sense. Why? Yeah, like
maybe the Mets should stop having him pitch to fucking Ramos. He's your two. But yeah, hopefully the Mets make the playoffs. We're really rooting for them over here. To close, I want to quickly talk about the FIBA Basketball World Cup. Spain beats Argentina 95-75 for the gold medal. USA finished in 7th after beating Poland. Yippee!
A good, dangerous Poland team, by the way.
How much of a disappointment is this?
I was watching the France game, and I was literally on my way to work when it was happening, because this is taking place in China. I don't know what it was. It's like, They were so dejected. The guys on the bench, like Coach Pop, was just sort of like, you know, whatever. It looked like they were sad that they couldn't get it done, but like they almost felt it coming. And the way that they had these games being played, there were too many games too close for comfort. I thought losing that game to Australia was going to be the wake-up call. You have a chance to – they had won 58 games in a row in international competition. That gets snapped. You have a fired-up France team that just – they swooped in and they took it away from them, and then, you know, like this seventh, it's nothing. I feel like this is a whole wash. They blew an opportunity to prove that they're still the best without their best guys, and they didn't get it done. I think it's just a disappointment. I think it's a massive understatement.
I think it's a huge disappointment. You know, you still left guys off like Kyle Kuzma from the roster, some solid talent. And the whole time, Donovan Mitchell, Kemba Walker, Tatum, Brown, they're saying this is a real good team. I'm very disappointed. You lose to France, and where Frank Ntilikina is the best guard on the floor.
Who called that, by the way? Can I get a little credit?
By the way, great call. And that France team has some studs. And as a Knicks fan, I'm so excited to see what Frank brings this year. I mean,
I'm not trade him right fucking now. His stock is high. Trade him.
That's classic me as a Knicks fan. But what's more disappointing is that you could still fight for a bronze, and the next day you go and you lose to Serbia. I mean, you got Bogdan Bogdanovic, Bielica, a couple pros, but I mean, you still got Donovan Mitchell on this team. You got Kemba Walker, who just signed a massive deal. I mean,
Jason,
this is supposed
Tatum
to be young rising studs, other than Kemba, and you go out there and you lay a stinker. I mean, how does Bogdan Bogdanovic go out there and give 28 points? 7 of 14 from three. I don't get
it. Because that's the problem. I am disappointed for sure. But these international teams are loaded with NBA players like never before, and we had the Boston Celtics plus Donovan Mitchell. We didn't have superstars
with
like
some
we could
Milwaukee
have had.
Bucks.
Yeah, it was a weird, weird USA team. I think that they should have beaten France, but France was a good team.
France is good, and
were good.
These guys have played together for years.
They're also pros. Yeah, they are. Like,
but these are, but an. Aside from that, these are actual teams. Like during the summers, they play together.
Absolutely.
Like Australia, Patty Mills, Bogut, Joe Ingles. These guys have years under their belt of camaraderie and you know, teamwork. So
I'm not that shocked that they lost to France. I'm disappointed that they dropped to France, then dropped another one and beat Poland by a couple points. But yeah, take us home.
Yeah, well, that's our show, folks. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, I'm Ben at Boy with No Job.
I'm Vic at V Web,
and I'm Jack at Jack Not John.
As always, you can follow us at The Schwitz on Instagram. Join our private Facebook group, The Schwitzers, on Facebook for general updates, great discussions. It's a really fun forum in there. And please rate, subscribe to our podcast. Let us know how we're doing. We love feedback.
And review,
we love
as doing well. This. And five stars. It's very
please,
easy.
Please review. Please. It's super important to our longevity.
Yeah, please.
I'm begging you.
We need enough nutrition.
Please review. Thanks so much.